Good morning. The scripture is Acts 8, 4 through 8. Those who have been scattered moved on, preaching the good news along the way. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and began to preach Christ to them. The crowds were unified by what they heard Philip say and the signs they saw him perform, and they gave him their undivided attention. With loud shrieks, unclean spirits came out of many people, and many who were paralyzed or crippled were healed. There was great rejoicing in that city. And then in Acts 9, 10 through 19, in Damascus there was a certain disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision. Ananias, he answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord instructed him, "Go to Judas' house on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus, named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias enter and put his hands on him to restore his sight." Ananias countered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man. People say he has done horrible things to your holy people in Jerusalem. He's here with authority from the chief priests to arrest everyone who calls on your name." The Lord replied, "Go. This man is an agent I have chosen to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I have shown him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Ananias went through the house. He placed his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord sent me. Jesus, who appeared to you on the way as you were coming here, he sent me so that you could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, flakes fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After eating, he regained his strength. He stayed in Damascus with the disciples for several days. And later in Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ."
Thank you, Gary. So in our worship this morning, the songs that we've sung, the prayers that have been shared, the scripture that we've heard, has been all about transformation and salvation. What does it mean for us to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives? What does that mean? How does that change and transform our heart and life? We're going to talk about that this morning. And then secondly, there's another thing that we need to remember too. The second thing that we need to remember is that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is the beginning of the journey and not the end. And so what does it mean for us to continue to walk in Christ and share our faith with others? And so we're going to think about that this morning. And so it tells us in Scripture time and time again that we are to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. In Acts 2:21, Peter says, "Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Paul writes in Romans 10:8-10, but what does it say? "The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For one who believes with the heart is so justified, and one who confesses with their mouth and so is saved." So that's all that we have to do. In order to accept Christ as Lord and Savior, all we have to do is confess it with our mouths, to say that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, that we seek to repent of our sin and our brokenness, and we remember that Jesus sacrificed his life upon a cross for our sakes. And then we also remember that Jesus conquered the grave, that death has no sting, no final word. On that third and glorious day, he rose again. And Jesus conquered sin. He conquered the power of hell. And all we have to do is accept that grace, and it's given to us. The penalty has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. And that grace is sufficient yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. There are no amount of good works that we can do to earn it. It's a gift that is freely given by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But there's a second part to that. There's a second part that we need to always keep in our minds. When we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, when we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts and we receive this grace, that is the beginning of the journey and not the end. It requires a change within our hearts. It requires transformation and change. We cannot remain the same when we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And Paul writes what must happen in our hearts when we accepted Christ as we continue to mature in the faith. In Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15, it says this: "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful." And so there's a change that needs to take place. So when you wear a different clothing, it makes you look a different way, right? And so Paul is using this metaphor of clothing to say that we need in our hearts to be clothed in a different way. That we need to live out these hallmarks of being compassionate, kind, humble, meek, and patient. In Galatians, Paul calls these the fruit of the Spirit. There needs to be proof that transformation has taken place in our lives, that we are no longer like the rest of the world that holds grudges, that doesn't love one another, that doesn't desire to live in harmony and peace with each other. Our faith journey is a maturation process. We are called as Christians to grow in our faith. We don't stay the same. A fancy theological term for this is called sanctification. And that means that we seek to live more and more of a holy life. That in the United Methodist theology, we can achieve what's called Christian perfection, which means that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we fully love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And that is what we seek to do. That we seek to mature. That we seek to grow in our faith. We don't go to kindergarten thinking we're going to stay there, right? We eventually know that we're going to graduate from high school and move on with our lives and keep growing and maturing. We do the same thing with our faith journey, but it seems like people don't always get that. They think that everything has to stay the same. But you mature by being faithful in prayer. You mature by being with fellow believers and studying God's Word in Sunday school and Bible study classes. These are the ways that we mature in the faith as believers together, praying for one another, lifting up one another, holding each other accountable in our walks with Christ. And so I want to share with you this morning, these two stories in the book of Acts. We have, on one hand, the story of Philip, and then on the second hand, we have the story of Saul, who later turns into Paul, as we know, and also Ananias. Ananias is an important part of the story. I think so often we focus on Saul when we hear about this story, but I think it's equally as important for us to focus on Ananias. So we're going to think about these two individuals, Philip and Ananias. And there's something important for us to understand, that these two people were the believers in the group, right? They were the ones that already knew Christ. But the interesting thing is that in order for them to share Christ with others, they had to change themselves. So in order to share Christ with others, they had to change themselves. So I want us to think about what that looks like. And so in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, we hear about Philip. Philip is one of the seven that were selected in Acts chapter 6 to help the apostles do the work of spreading the gospel and building and supporting the church. And it says in Acts 8:4, "Now those who were scattered went from place to place proclaiming the word." And then in verse 5 it says, "Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them." And so Philip was sent to proclaim the good news, to share that Jesus Christ is Lord, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and praying in Jesus' name, great miracles took place. But see, the thing is, what Philip had to change within himself is that he had to go to Samaria. Samaria is a place where the riffraff are. Samaria is the place where people don't want to go. These are the kind of people that you stay away from, the people that you would snub your nose at, the people that you would walk to the other side of the street just to avoid. That's who the Samaritans are. And so Philip had to change within himself to go to a place where people were not loved, were not wanted, were seen by the rest of the world as unimportant. And Jesus said specifically in Acts chapter 1 that the apostles are to be witnesses in Jerusalem, and he specifically mentions Samaria too. And he did that for emphasis, to go to places where people are undesirable, unwanted, unloved. And great and miraculous things happened because Philip was obedient to God. It says in verses 6 through 8 that the crowds with one accord listened eagerly to what was said by Philip, hearing and seeing signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying with loud shrieks came out of many who were possessed, and many others who were paralyzed or lame were cured, and so there was great joy in the city. What an amazing thing, because Philip was willing to be obedient and trust God, great and miraculous things took place. People were saved. Unclean spirits were taken away. The paralyzed and the lame were healed. Many knew Christ as Lord and Savior because Philip was obedient and faithful. Sometimes, so that others can know Christ through us, transformation needs to come in our own hearts. Transformation to step out in faith. Transformation to step out of our comfort zone, to be fully used by God when he commands us to do things that are risky, things that buck the expectations of what the world sets for us. Sometimes to see the true fruit, sometimes to see true blessing, there needs to be transformation within ourselves. And I think that this second story of Paul and Ananias, I think really drives this point home. And so to give you a little bit of background, the Paul that we know and love, the Paul that wrote the majority of the New Testament, was once a Pharisee. Saul was a man who persecuted and tortured and killed a great many Christians while he was a Pharisee. And so Saul's reputation was well known. They knew that this was a dangerous man, somebody that you should stay far away from. But God had bigger plans for Saul, because God knew that he could use just about anybody. God can use the lowest of sinner. God can use the person that has killed so many people, done some horrific acts to his followers, and that's the person God chose to use. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that fascinating? There's something of value to understand here, that God can use any one of us. So this is how God gets Paul's attention in Acts 9:3-6. It says, "Now as he was going and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?' The reply came and he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city and you'll be told what to do.'" And then in verses 8 and 9 it says, "Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank." And so there was something like scales upon Paul's eyes. For me, the best illustration I could do is I could just take my glasses off, and that's probably how Paul saw. Just a big blur, more than likely. So I understand. And so God speaks to Ananias in a vision, tells him what to do. He says, "Get up. Go to the street called Straight, into the house of Judas, and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul." And God reveals also to Ananias, "At this moment Saul is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." So Ananias is not sure about this. I think Ananias, in a contemporary version, would say, "Have you lost your mind? Are you crazy?" And he says, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has the authority from chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." And so he's scared. He's worried that he's going to be tortured by Paul. He might even be killed by Paul. But God tells Ananias, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I choose to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias was obedient. Ananias was willing to step out on faith, to obey when God told him to go to a man who was known as one of the vilest of sinners. And in verses 17 through 19, it says, Ananias went into the house. He laid hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell off of his eyes, like me putting on my glasses, and his sight was restored. And he got up, and he was baptized, and he took in some food and regained his strength. Paul didn't waste any time after his healing. After he received his sight and ate food, he went to Damascus, proclaiming the word of God in the synagogues. He endured a multitude of trials and tribulations. He was in prison. He was tortured. He was beaten, and much, much more. And what was fascinating and beautiful, in my mind, is that transformation took place both in the messenger and the recipient, didn't it? Transformation took place both in the messenger and in the recipient. Ananias needed transformation because he believed that Paul was unworthy of the gift God had given him because of his persecution and violence toward Christians. But God knew that no one was irredeemable. And God has a special purpose for Paul's life. Ananias learned about the power of forgiveness and transformation found in Jesus, but Ananias had to be obedient to God in order for it to take place. So I think this begs an important question for all of us. What barriers exist for us to be fully used by God to bring transformation and salvation to the world around us? Like Philip, are you willing to minister to people who the rest of the world dismisses as worthless and insignificant? Like Ananias, are you willing to minister to people who have wronged us and hurt us and are not leading their lives in a way that we approve of? You see, God is ready and willing to use us, but it requires obedience and transformation in our own lives. And God is ready for us to take our faith journey to the next level. But are you willing to change? Are you willing to step out in faith in Jesus' name? Let us be obedient when God calls us. Let us be the ones who are willing to extend love and grace to everyone in the world. Are you ready and obedient and willing to change within yourself so that you can be a blessing to others? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, help us this day. Help us this day to remove those barriers within our hearts. Help us, O God, to be willing to step out on faith, to step out and be obedient, to step out and be faithful when you call upon our names, when you tell us, O God, to minister to people that the rest of the world doesn't love, when you tell us to step out in faith, to minister to people who seem unworthy of your grace and forgiveness. Help us, O God, to be faithful. Help us to know that we are sinners ourselves who are saved by your grace. That all need transformation, all need hope, and all need love. So, Heavenly Father, come into our hearts, fill us with your Spirit, transform us, do a work in us. Help us, O God, to mature in the faith, to grow stronger in our love for you, in our love for our neighbors and for one another. God, help us to grow. Help us to mature. Help us to be transformed into the people that you've called us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we all pray together. Amen.